This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:37. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And we're moving on to Today on Twitter, where it is all about the different ways that we pick up languages, particularly the languages that we didn't grow up with.
I love this because it really warms my book nerd loving heart. So Ilham Mazalan on Twitter shared their experience of learning English and said that even though their mother was an English teacher, they were never actually taught English directly and instead were asked to read the Harry Potter books without referring to the dictionary. And Ilham went on to say, even though they struggled initially, that this method proved really effective. And what I love is that then this went on to many other people sharing their own experiences with how they picked up languages. And it really runs the gamut from books to video games to TV shows. And I really kind of love it.
I love it too. Well, I wanted to say also that Ilham went on to talk about the importance of not understanding every single phrase, of not necessarily getting, you know, slightly more complex things like sentence structure or what have you, but instead focusing on understanding and context. And that was really a way of furthering the understanding of the language. If you go check out the tweet, Ilham also plugs their book saying, in case this goes viral, I'm going to plonk an ad here, which, you know, who says reading and writing doesn't pay? This is what I'm trying to say. You can be a reader and also be Twitter business savvy. That's all I'll say. But the tweets that are coming through, like you said, Sharmila, are rather sweet. So Tarak Tech says, my mom's an English teacher too, but the bulk of my English knowledge comes from me playing video games. I owe my knowledge to this fun experience. It's always the fun factor. Enjoy what you do and find enjoyment in everything.
That's so true, right? So fun is one thing. Actual usability, how people use a language rather than just learning the rules of how a language is written and spoken is so important. I remember how I learned to speak and understand Hindi, and it was pretty much through watching Hindi films with BM subtitles and then eventually realizing that I was matching the words to the meaning in my head and I could understand it. And I don't think I set out to learn the language. It just kind of happened along the way. Amalina shared how they learned it through Enid Blyton books. And basically the books were a reward for when she did well in her exams.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. I love getting books as a reward in the first place. We also have this from Ash, who says, my grandpa forced me to read newspapers, cry emoji, like the Borneo Post and New Straits Times. I cried really badly, but at least it wasn't a lost time and my exams went well, 90 marks and above, never below. Icy says, I learned from watching Western movies. When I was young, I used to read the subtitles without understanding it. Now that I'm older, I can even watch movies without. So every method of learning something new is fine, as long as it's for your own benefit and self-improvement. And there's this incredibly sweet one from Ina, who says, my husband and I aren't great with English. We try to speak English with our child. He's one, and he understands what we say. This has helped to build our confidence in speaking English. I work with expats, so it's been very helpful.
Oh, that's a great one. It reminds me of parents who want to make sure that their child can speak their mother tongue, which they themselves may not be particularly proficient at, and therefore make a great effort to speak to their children in, whether it's Tamil or Mandarin. And yeah, I mean, I really think that a language truly only works when you use it and when you hear other people use it, right? So part of the gap in our education system, if you think about how English is taught in school, is how it is literally taught. In most classes, they don't even have a lot of conversation. It's just writing down exercises, writing essays. And I'm not convinced that that's really the most effective way to learn and enjoy a language.
Not just English, right? I mean, each of the languages that we learn in school is actually taught in that very same way, where it's all written. You are meant to sit there and write karangan and rumusan and just, you know, try to write syairs or whatever. And none of that necessarily translates into actually being able to walk out and have a proper non-awkward conversation. You'll be understandable, sure, but are you awkward? Sure, because, you know, the only thing that you know how to do is write in Bahasa, not necessarily speak in Bahasa. And I'm just plucking languages that we use in schools because I think it is across the board the way our languages are taught that is very much the same. And I will also say that I've never been intimidated by English because it's what I was raised in. However, when I went to school, that transition from kindergarten to primary, I remember being suddenly immersed in Bahasa because I was still learning everything in Bahasa and feeling very, you know, oh, this is incredibly new. And that sense of awkwardness was very present. So thank you, Doraemon, because ultimately, whatever level of proficiency and comfort I have with Bahasa, the seeds of it were born from reading Doraemon and watching Doraemon.
I mean, Doraemon, Enid Blyton, Harry Potter, Bollywood. Who says pop culture can't be educational?
Entertainment, my friends. This is very key. So we'd like to hear from you. I mean, how did you teach yourself a language that wasn't a language that you spoke at home? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:50 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. This hour we've been talking about, well, on Today on Twitter, the different ways that we pick up languages, particularly the ones that we didn't grow up with. And that was focused on someone whose mother was an English teacher, but learned through Harry Potter without a dictionary and just following along for the context and the words and all the rest of it. And that's been a theme, right? Books, games, movies. So we were asking you essentially, how did you teach yourself a language that was not a language you spoke at home? And we have some messages.
I want to start with this one. An anonymous listener says, I learned English from Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, Westlife, and so on. And I learned Bahasa from my kaka. It's the repeated choruses, isn't it? The repetition of the same sentence with that beat in the background. It gets stuck in your head.
That and learning Bahasa from one's kakak is 100% the way a lot of people do it. Although it is also why some people then enter school or whatever with Bahasa Indonesia inflected PM. So there is that. But I love the idea of pop songs because it is hugely helpful. It does also mean that you sometimes enter with an accent, which I think is kind of funny and quite cute, actually. It's not a problem. But there is a very specific sort of Pan-American accent that stretches across pop songs. Also, you would have been very well equipped to write love letters.
This is true. We have Anwar saying, I have a problem now as my kids use English more than Malay in their daily conversation. Previously, I was too afraid that they wouldn't be fluent in English, so I exposed them to English early. Now it's backfired and I've had to teach them Malay instead. This just reminds me of so many parents who try to get their kids to watch English programs and then realize they now sounded like Peppa Pig, i.e. a very British fussy person.
Yes, I've heard this a lot. Or you sound like a bunch of puppies on a mission. It doesn't always work out.
Paw Patrol was the other one I thought of.
That's the thing. But also, this actually describes in many ways my household, because I think that there was also this focus of, you know, I want to ensure that my child is going to be able to be fluent in languages other than Chinese. And then now I'm fluent in like a bunch of other languages other than Chinese. And so it has somewhat backfired.
We have V saying anime. What else can I say? Probably I looped the show for 173 times. It's very specific, until Japanese got stuck in my head, and with self-forcing, learning to write the words from the internet as well. That's actually a lot of commitment, not just learning verbally, but also to write.
I know a lot of people who are learning Korean for this reason and in the same way, having entered through K-dramas and then learning to grasp certain phrases and then deciding to take it further, which I think is so cool in the sense that I just love the idea of anybody, but especially adults, picking up new languages. We also have, let's see, Madiha, who says, I had been making painfully slow progress learning Mandarin on Duolingo since about 5 years ago. Although consistent, I only had a very rudimentary grasp as my aim was just to have a basic understanding. Now that my two daughters have joined Chinese-speaking schools, I am terrified that they'll grow up gossiping with each other in a language I can't understand. They're avid users of Duolingo and now we compete with each other. It's great motivation.
Duolingo is such a gift for people who want to learn languages. I briefly used it before a trip to France, and I realized that if you keep at it, it actually does increase your capability for conversational language a lot. And having an app, a free app that does that, is so awesome.
So this is the thing. I need to recommit to Duolingo because, like you, back in ye oldie days when we could travel, I also decided, oh, I'm going to learn, you know, some rudimentary French or rudimentary Spanish. And sure, I mean, pom. But, you know, what else do I have? And really, I think it's going to come down to like what you're doing, Madiha, where it's a language that you actually can somewhat apply in day-to-day life. I think it's very difficult to learn a language that you're a bit distant from.
We have Katrina saying, when I was in secondary school, I wanted to make friends with non-Chinese speakers, so I literally threw myself into their midst and learned from conversation. When the Harry Potter saga started, I joined the book club. Now I'm learning Japanese using the same method, just surrounding myself with Japanese people and telling them to speak it to me as much as possible. I must say it was easier back then. That I agree. Picking up languages seemed a lot easier when I was younger. My brain feels slower now.
Yes, it feels slower even in terms of grasping languages you know, much less new languages. But I will also say that Harry Potter or something like it, which is something that has been widely translated, is such a boon in these areas, because if you know it very well, and if which I think both Shamila and I do, then you can actually have a reasonable run at reading it in another language and getting there, much in the way as Ilham, right, the person who wrote our original tweet did it, because if you are aware that Hagrid says this, then Harry does this, and then Hermione runs off and does that, you can kind of get it along the way.
As long as you don't accidentally yell out Alohomora to someone when you want them to open the door, I think you'll be fine.
Look at you. Look at you and your niche references.
I know. I had to. I like this one. Walter says, my English came about by playing computer games when I was young, city building and simulation games to be exact.
I love that. I also think that computer games, and in fact, things like Disney, for all the good and bad that they've brought into our lives, are great ways to extend vocabulary, because there are moments where they use words, and you'll hear it in Disney songs, actually, where they use words that are more complex than you would expect for, say, a six-year-old or a seven-year-old to be using. But it's just one word, and you can let it slide by. And then later on, you can ask about it, or, you know, find out what a candelabra is. There are all these different things you can do. Ari says, Malay isn't a language I speak every day at home. I'm a first-generation Malaysian, but I learned it from my ex-school teacher who taught me Malay properly from standard 4 to 5. And now I sound like a Kelantanese person, but when people see me, they're confused.
Actually, the accent is a big deal, isn't it? Because I used to have a college mate who was Chinese educated, but her English was super British because she had a tutor who was a British woman. And so we always got kind of mind blown because we're like, where is that accent from?
So I love the idea of regional accents, though, not just international accents. Meanwhile, Pamela says, growing up in an English-speaking family, Mandarin wasn't my strong suit. I learnt it by watching dramas and reading the captions to learn how to pronounce the words properly. Sometimes I have to pause the show, it was in the videotape era, just to search for that ridiculous, weird-looking word in the dictionary. Reading Doraemon and love novels in Mandarin helped tremendously, too. You see, Doraemon, I'm telling you, Doraemon changed lives.
I'm telling you that we overlook how lucky we were to have grown up in a culture that normalizes subtitles. Because if I think about how much so many people in, say, America, and how averse they are to subtitles, and I feel like so many of us learned so many things by watching subtitled content.
Let us know. How did you teach yourself a language that was not one that you spoke at home? That number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.